VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pop culture, subcultures, music, horror, sex, politics, art, and overall bad ass.
This is Society 13, redefining podcasting.
Music.
Horror.
Subculture.
And overall badass. Welcome to Kettle Whistle Radio. With your host Dave and Sean.
Kettle Whistle Radio, and the studio is still haunted. I'm on a different plane of existence. I'm in seventh heaven right now. Not as much as the day that we recorded this episode. Our next guest, the bass player from Cold. Okay, Lindsay Manfredi will be joining us very shortly here. And she doesn't know how much she made my life complete by letting me have Cold as a part of this show. We've talked about them in the past. Maybe you're sick of it. I doubt it. You can't be, because they're just a phenomenal band. But we got Lindsay Manfredi joining us very shortly here, after we play Ocean by Cold. And she called me out on that one, which is really weird in retrospect, because that is the song I was going to start the show off with which you're about to hear. So anyway, coming up very shortly, we're going to have Miss Lindsay, and she's just brilliant, adorable, and intelligent beyond. All right, she wrote this book. You'll hear about that later. But right now, I got to tell you, there's a couple of movies you got to check out. She won't look at, we joked about this, she will not look up trailers because they give away too much these days. And the big one right now is Censor, C-E-N-S-O-R. And I guess it's going to turn the horror world upside down. Whatever. You could look up the trailer. I don't like to watch them either. We agreed on that. I did really enjoy a Matt Dillon film where Matt Dillon plays a serial killer in the house that Jack built. That, I believe, is on Hulu right now, folks, for free. I really kind of liked the direction they went with this one. And it is inside the mind of the serial killer, but it's Matt Dillon. You know, come on. All right, I, I'm a Kevin Dillon fan myself, but Matt Dillon, you know, he was first. And him playing a serial killer, it just worked out well. And you get to see the end results of a serial killer. And that's all. I'm going to leave it at that. It was good. Lost my mind watching Fried Barry, as in fried. We're frying up some chicken. Fried Barry by director Ryan Kruger. Gary Green plays Fried Barry. And this guy, this is a South African film. I never thought I'd say that, but it is. And it is beyond entertaining. Do not watch it around the squeamish at all. It's on Shudder. Just what would happen if aliens took over the body of a, basically, a junkie on a bender and try to understand the human experience. Fried Barry. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. I did laugh my ass off on The Wolf of Snow Hollow. It's not really the greatest horror movie. It's horror comedy. Those usually annoy me. But Jim Cummings, who is also the director, plays John Marshall, the policeman, is hysterical because it's mostly about this cop that is so high strung and like turns on a dime, and even on his own friends and family and people around him. Imagine a cop with three pots of coffee in him, you know? And you got Jim Cummings. And it's all about him and his failing investigation of what could be werewolf killings. Again, look more for the comedy, not for the horror in this one. All right? That is The Wolf of Snow Hollow. I cracked up the whole time just because I thought Jim Cummings was effing hysterical while he was just losing his mind and his patience constantly. All right, so let's see here. What else did I... Oh, okay. Well, we should talk about fashion trashing. I wanted to tell Lindsay about it because she's invited to be a, one of our cohorts on fashion trashing by Biku Askew. Biku Askew. And you can find that on the Facebook page of Kettle Whistle Radio, or just go to Biku Askew or go to Twitter. They're blowing it up. And that's where all the rock stars, a lot of lady rock stars, are doing the voices of puppets. Okay, sock puppets behaving badly. Yes, I've been on it myself. It's a lot of fun. I try to turn everybody I interview actually onto the show. But fashion trashin', F-A-S-H-I-O-N, trashin'. Look it up. And they're on YouTube. It's hysterical. They're 5 to 8 minute episodes. So worth watching. It will not... I am not wasting your time on this one. And Lindsay, I'm sorry I didn't tell you that you're invited, but we'll work on that next. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, and never, ever ask Lindsay if she plays a 5 or a 6-string bass that I think I made up during the interview. Yes, they have them. No, she doesn't play them. All right. Now, I did actually send friend requests, and I did... Well, Sam McCandless, I wanted him to join us, and we talked extremely briefly in very small words, and how much I really wanted to talk about his comic book that's out there. Sam McCandless, the drummer, one of the founding members, him and Scoot, of Cold. And he's got this horror comic out. I really, really want him to come on and talk about it. So this is me conjuring him. And we'll see what happens. I did hit him up first, Lindsay. He didn't get back to me. Well, kinda. Anyway, great guy. I cannot wait to actually talk to him. I feel like it'll happen because we're going to talk about comic books. Who doesn't want to talk about comic books? And last but not least, I love that, and you're going to hear her talk about her book, and she talks about badassery. Now, anyone that's stuck with me for the past 12 years knows that the Society 13 network of podcasts, that is our theme, badassery. So she fits in perfectly. And I think you're going to enjoy Lindsay Men, and don't call her Manfredi, Manfredi, okay? She will clock you with that bass. Just saying. So, okay, right now we're going to play some, we'll do some Cold. And one of my favorites, and again, she called me out on this later on, but let's listen to Ocean, and then we're going to get right into this interview with Lindsay Manfredi of Cold. And again, I could not admire a person more, and let her speak for herself, right? And thank you for your support, folks. And all right, we'll talk later. It's really important to know that I actually had an MRI the day of this interview, and I was trying to give her an out because I didn't know if I'd be up for it. I had a weird reaction with the dye they inject you with, and it was a really different high. It was nauseating, but it was also like this, I don't know. I guess I'm allergic to MRI dye. On top of that, I made this crazy mistake. Are you guys familiar with Tazo tea? Like the boxes, it's like concentrated so you can make like four pitchers. Yeah, I didn't know that. I drank a whole box of this Tazo tea. You know, I guess it's Tazo. I don't know. I'm not a fucking hipster. But yeah, it's a concentrated box of tea, and I drank the whole thing because it was cold and it felt good in the back of my throat after the dumb MRI and all this bullshit. So I'm whacked out on caffeine. And on top of that, I found like two vanilla iced teas, and I wanted to wake up because I was really, again, I had a bad experience with the MRI. So like I was tired. So I got lit on caffeine. Totally caffeinated Dave. All right. But you should not be unfamiliar with that. Here's Ocean by Colt.
Like falling out.
Folks, friends, and fiends, thanks for tuning into Kettle Whistle Radio. Captain Sexy is not here with me tonight. He's busy, but we've heard that one before. But who is with me right now? Published author, co-founder of A Girls Rock Indie, and Lindsay Manfredi, of course, now the bass player for Cold, one of my favorite bands.
Hi.
Hello. Nice to finally get this together.
Yes.
It wasn't always Cold for you, though, right? There were other bands prior. You've been in the business.
Oh, God, there's been a plethora of bands. But that's what happens when you, try to become a professional musician. You just start from, playing coffee houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then buy on bands and all the things.
So when did you officially become a Cold member?
In 2014.
And let's see, I did catch something. I said this off air. I never, ever listen or watch interviews with somebody before I do it. I like to go in cold, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
but you're very busy. And got this book we'll talk about. I don't know where to begin.
Well, I mean, full disclosure, I don't have anything to do with Girls Rock Indianapolis anymore. That was over 10 years ago when we started it. I was involved in the first three years or so.
Okay.
So that's off of my plate.
Okay.
So as far as that's concerned.
All right. Yeah. Cause I was watching something about that and it was really intriguing. And, but you have a lot of interviews out there and, it's hard to avoid your stuff. Okay. So you joined Cold 2014. How intimidating was that? Or were you just ready to roll? Cause it seems like you've been ready to roll your whole life.
Yeah. Well, it was very intimidating. It was one of those things where, when Scooter called me and asked me if I wanted it, I was like, I don't play a 5-string bass. Huh. And like all of this stuff went through my head, but I was thinking about Richard Branson when he talks about if somebody offers you an opportunity, say yes and figure it out later. And this is Cold's always been one of my favorite bands. And it was just one of those situations where, and I did, and I figured it all out later.
Oh my
God. I learned the songs in the catalog, and Scooter was like, you don't have to play a 5-string, you can play a 4-string. So that worked out nicely because I ended up buying a Warwick 5-string because that's what Emma from Sick Puppies played, and I loved her. And I just, it wasn't working for me. I was always messing up with that top string. I just can't, it's just not, because I've been playing bass for over 10 years, and
yeah, because you're
I've always used a 4-string.
Guitars first, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've been very vocal, though, about females in rock and some of your interviews and some of the things I've caught. This show, we've supported so many great female acts, I can't even tell you. Going from, like, do you remember Ruby, Leslie Rankin? Back in the day,
that name is very familiar.
Yeah, she's great. From her to Sean Yusoe, and we had recently a group. She was intimidating. Gwen Strang of Frail. She's a front woman for Frail from Ohio, not too far from where you came from, actually.
Right.
Gwen is great. But we've been supporting these acts, and this show was founded by myself and another and a female. So we kind of like, I don't know, it was, and she plays bass too. Her name's Heather Taddy. Everybody out there already knows who she is if they listen to this show. Yes, she's a Paranormal State person from back then. And we just formed the show as a, what we're doing right now, talking to artists like yourself. You should know this one girl we just had on, Lene Herzog. She just got airplay on Sirius XM with her band Lene's Garden. So that was kind of a cool moment.
Nice.
Yeah, you might dig her. You guys kind of have a similar personality. But yeah, Lene Herzog, she's our recent success story, we'll say.
Okay, I'll definitely look her up. I'm in my little bubble over here.
Yeah, I know, right? Speaking of bubble.
Just because I'm head down doing all the things.
And quarantine, how did you survive and what did you do?
Honestly, quarantine wasn't awful. And I think that I got my book published, mm-hmm. So I actually got to take the time to sit down and sit with my editor and actually do the things, so that helped a lot. And I've been making candles.
Uh-huh,
that
saw
keeps
that.
Me busy. More recently, one of my dear good friends, I've just kind of been working for her, doing some office work a couple of days a week. She's on the East Coast, but her name is Lynn Janae Resitas. She's a New York Times bestselling author.
Nice.
of the plan and the metabolism plan. So I, in my old life, I have been a personal trainer at one point. So health and nutrition is very important to me. I'm an avid worker outer. I like to eat really healthy. I definitely gained some weight over quarantine that we're now back. I just started P90X3 again, and I've got to get into tour shape.
Yeah, please. I'm sure you look great.
Just kind of no messing around at this, like the next couple of months. I have to be very on point, but I had friends, and I moved back to LA during quarantine. But it really didn't affect my life too much because I did have my pod of people that I spent every Saturday with, and I just worked. I started my second book.
Ah, that was going to be one of my questions. Okay.
Yeah. That's well, cool. And I really want to release it 2/22/22. After we, because we're back on the road this fall, and I'm super excited. And I'm actually leaving LA in 2 months. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to Indianapolis and spend time with my daughter for a month before we start rehearsals in Pennsylvania.
Oh, really? Well, we're stationed in Pittsburgh. So, I'm from New York myself, but yeah, okay. Pittsburgh is where we're at. So that's good to hear.
That's good. Yeah, we're going to be rehearsing in like the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area because like, our crew is there and all my equipment is over there, and Johnny and Nick live there. So it just makes sense for me and Scooter and Sam to just pop over there. And then we start in Virginia. So it's just I'm so excited to just be back with my guys, and they're my family. Outside of my family,
I just got excited. I can't believe it. I'm so happy to hear that. I was gonna. That's another one of my questions. But yeah, let's get to a song real quick. It's not like there's nobody out there that doesn't know Cold, but you never know. We get some new listeners. We got some millennials that are clueless,
right? Exactly. And we've got a new album, and so that's very important.
Heck,
you know,
yeah.
To get that out there.
Your choice. Do you have a choice that you'd want to play first? I was going to go with something old first, but we don't have to.
Oh, well, by all means, go with something old first.
Okay, I'm going to be selfish and play Give because it's like one of my favorite songs.
But... Oh, okay, great. I love that song.
All right, we'll be right back with Lindsay Manfredi of the band Cold and many other projects that we still have yet to get to here. And thanks for listening to Kettle Whistle Radio, folks. I appreciate you.
Oh,
sit back and bask in the wackiness of Boku Askew TV. A YouTube channel featuring sock puppets, irreverent comedy, bizarro imagery, and oddball silliness aplenty. To watch now, visit youtube.com/BokuAskewTV.
Hi, this is Martin Atkins from Public Image Limited, Killing Joke, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, Pigface and the Damage Manual and Murder Inc. and Brian Brain, and you're listening to Kettle Whistle Radio.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for listening. And we're here with the lovely Lindsay Manfredi of the band Cold and many other things. We're going to talk about The Things We Can't Stop. That's a sixth studio record, right?
It is.
Was it as organic to put this thing together as it sounds? Or was it tough?
It really was. I mean, we wrote it in the studio and we recorded with Jeremy Parker in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, he's done Hell Yeah and Evanescence. And he's just really, really talented. And Scooter had a lot of, like, some song ideas before we went in. But we basically wrote the whole thing while we were in the studio. So we would sit in a room and figure out the parts and kind of all work together because it was the first time we'd all worked together.
Oh, man.
And we ended up changing drummers at the last minute. But anyway, that's how it turned out. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful album. I loved every single record on it.
I agree. I swear my studio is haunted. That's something else too. You probably didn't hear that, but every now and then there's a thump that I can't find.
Because I'm good friends with Stormy Daniels. She just she was here yesterday. As a matter of fact, she just left, and she has a paranormal show now, and I'm not allowed to share where it's going to be, but I'm so excited for her because they're just in contract mode right now.
Cool.
She does readings and stuff, and so sometimes I'm like, she's so haunted, but like good haunted. But she did a reading at my house for one of my friends two nights ago, and every once in a while I'm like, ooh, are any ghosts here?
I'm not too surprised by that. And the girl I used to work with, you know, she is a Ghostbuster, and I have to plug her show. She's Portals to Hell with Jack Osborne right now.
She was nice.
Yeah, she's in the second season.
We should hook her up with Stormy.
I'm telling you. You know, that's not out of the question. She'd probably love it.
Okay, and yeah, we'll talk about that later.
She's a kick-ass bass player. Yeah. But yeah, that album. Now, I go without you on that. I just love the sustained drum and bass that you guys do. And it's reminiscent of, like, everything I loved about Send in the Clowns way before it.
Send in the Clowns is one of my favorite songs.
I could tell that. Absolutely. just that sustained bass, you guys, and the drums are just amazing. But yeah, that it's so funny. I'm rediscovering old music again and going back to the first two Cold albums, and just honestly, they're a band that have always been there for me. Like, just when you think they're out, they come back with this thing in your face, and it's like, whoa. I mean, wow. And I like that. I love that about them. Not too many musicians are like that.
Well, Scooter's just such an incredible writer.
Yes.
It's one of those things where he's not ever going to really be able to retire because he loves, he just does it. He just writes.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty incredible. He's really incredible to work with, and I love him dearly.
And what was, when you went to Florida, I heard a little segment there. You went to start up a band in Florida. Was it a reggae band you were playing in?
No, it was a rock band. And back then I had dreadlocks, but that band was called Pretty Machine Gun.
Okay.
I still have a cassette tape or a CD of the recording from that. And randomly will find it and I'll pop it in. But we had a song called Slut that I wrote after Courtney Love, because I was such a Courtney Love fanatic back in the day. There were some really... Yeah, the first time I was ever in a studio, so I was, 20 or 21, and that was the first time I got to record and hear myself.
Oh man, I'd love to hear
that. But
that
didn't. It was back in the MP3 days. Like, right. It was before. I don't even know if MySpace was a thing then.
Probably just coming in at that point. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh my God. That's funny. You're not the first person to bring up a song called "Slut." I keep doing that because I'm a GBH fan. Do you know the song I'm talking about? Yeah, we're not gonna get into that because I think I offended somebody with that one once. But GBH. That's, you know, punk rock. Still around. I saw them not too long ago. They came to Pittsburgh. But okay, all right, I do have a bad cold story, and it's,
but
it's not their fault. Yeah, I have to find a way. I owe my wife a T-shirt from the concert. I guess it was the Year of the Spider tour, and it got canceled once. Then they came back and did it, and we found the T-shirt with the silver spider, right? You can't really find them too much unless you guys are putting them back out. But she was so happy to get this shirt, and we went down to meet the band and everything, and we left the shirt up on the balcony. We're like, oh no. So we go back up there, and we know the waitress stole that shirt because she was the only one up there. And I was just like, hey man, we left our shirt. Oh no, I didn't see it. So we lost our cold shirt. So I got to find a way to make that up to her.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's a great shirt too. It's just, the end of that. Now, I'm curious, would you share a bad rock star story, whether it's yours or someone you met? And you don't have to use names.
Okay, I'm trying to think if I have any. a bad rock star story.
Never met somebody shitty? That's good if you didn't.
I have to be honest, I don't think that I have any bad ones.
You're very lucky.
Like, people are cool to me, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Like, I've met Jared Leto, and I've met some really, really famous people, and everybody's been super nice.
That's cool. That's nice to hear.
So I don't have anything that I can. I wish I could. You know, they say to not meet your idol. So I've never met mm-hmm. Courtney Love, and I think that she might be one person that might be bitchy, but I don't know. But even Billy Corgan, who I love, like, my friend Jane Jensen and I mm-hmm. did a Instagram live, and we had Sierra Swan, and she's obviously on the new Pumpkins album, and she just released a new album called Tangerines, an EP, and Billy stopped into our Instagram live and said hi and was totally cool.
That's cool to hear too.
Which was so cool. I was like, my little heart stopped and I was nervous because I saw he had logged in. I'm like, oh my God, Billy Corgan's watching us right now. Because we had Scooter watching, we had Billy Corgan watching, and I was like just nervous. But
I don't blame
that's
you.
That's the answer to that.
All right. So, yeah,
tell me about
huge Ministry.
Tell me
fan.
About you.
I'm just a huge Ministry fan. It's funny you should say that.
Well, hey, I have some Ministry news that I swear to God I wouldn't say anything.
Oh no.
But I will probably be hanging out with them next week.
Really?
That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh man, that's awesome. No, they're one of my favorite bands. Of all time.
I met John 5 2 days ago. I went to his house.
He's a sweetheart, from what I understand.
He is so nice.
Yeah, nice guy. Yeah. Very talented. Oh my God, ridiculous.
He's crazy talented, and it's funny because he does carry his guitar around with him. Where I was in his kitchen, and he walks by, and he's holding his guitar. That is a true thing.
I have heard that. I've heard him on the radio talk about that on XM. Mm-hmm. Okay, what is your favorite song to play live?
Ocean.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Did not see that coming. Okay, cool.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. It just, wow. All right, no, because I was working on
the song, The Ocean. Got such a groove to it, and it's just like, I just love it. Yeah.
All right, well, it is your pick. You should pick the next song we play.
One of my favorite songs off the new album is Snowblind.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't played that live yet, but I have a feeling that that's on this next tour. When we do play it live, it's gonna be up there on my favorites to play.
It's in my it's in constant revolution. Is that what the word? Revolving YouTube? I don't know. Constantly play that one. Yes. All right. So you want to do that one then? We'll play that and we'll get right back with you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Lindsay Manfredi of the band Cold. And we're going to talk about our book next. And thanks for hanging, folks.
To its predecessor. Get ready for new, truly terrifying tales set in the broken world from the fall of tomorrow. Take a closer look at what's now dwelling in the dark. If you dare. Available on Amazon in traditional print and ebook. Get your copy today. Visit www.fairlydarkproductions.com for more info on the author and his work.
We're back, folks, and thanks for hanging in here. Got Lindsay Manfredi on the line from the Bankhold, and we're going to talk about this book, Unfuckwithable, A Guide to Inspired Badassery.
Yes, that is it.
Yeah. I've heard some excerpts, but yeah. Okay, what inspired you?
Well, what inspired me is I've always been a writer. I've been a ghostwriter, and I've worked with authors.
Nice.
And yeah, I have my degree from Indiana University, and it's in communication arts and business. So I have that whole background, and I've always had a business since I've gotten out of college. Mm-hmm. So that said, I am huge into self-discovery, self-exploration, meditation, spirituality. So I was reading a lot of these books and hearing these stories and kind of I was going through a really bad breakup. So it was just one of those things where I broke up with the dude that I should have broken up with 2 years before I actually did. And it was a very abusive, physically, emotionally, all of the things, abusive relationships. So I just had to like take a breather, and I left Los Angeles to go spend time with my daughter, and I was staying with my dad, and I just was like in a meditation one day, was like, I'm gonna write a book, because why not? So I literally started it that day after my friend, I like had posted a photo of all these books that I was reading, because I was trying to find my center again, because I had lost my identity in this person who was terrible. And I mean, I recently, just as of a month ago, I heard him saying some bullshit like he edited my book and I never gave him credit. And like, this is all lies. Ooh. Like, he never even had a copy. I broke up with him years and years ago, but he's just a liar. He's just a bad person. Mm-hmm. So that said, so my friend commented on my photo and she was like, "You're making yourself unfuckwithable." And I was like, "I'm going to call my book Unfuckwithable."
That's awesome.
A Guide to Inspired Badassery. So that she has it. You know, my book dedication is to my daughter and her, because she really gave me the idea to actually do it. And, but yeah, I had this incredible story, and I've been on this crazy journey from being locked up in a youth center because I was running away all the time as a kid because I loved music so much, and I was raised in this ridiculously Christian, overtly Christian home. So I was just rebelling all the time. And I moved to Florida when I was 20 to start a band. Like, I just went and did it. I didn't care. I dropped everything. I packed a bag and drove. And then fast forward 14 years later, my favorite band calls and asks me to be a part of them. So there was just a lot of law of attraction things that were happening, and all the things that I had gotten to experience in my life, and all of it was just about being led spiritually and to understand who you are and fall in love with your life. Because overall, throughout all of it, I've always been in love with life, and I've always had fun, and I've had good people, I've had bad people, but I've learned lessons from all of them. And I just want to encourage people, now that I actually have a platform, to love themselves and to get to know who they are and what they really love, so they can become unfuckwithable and do what they actually want to do in their life.
I was actually going
to create change.
I was going to quote you on that, something you said, you know, find yourself first. I was listening to another interview. I know I cheated, folks, but I wanted to get to know you a little bit. When you said that, because I watched family members go through it, somebody diving right back into a new marriage when they shouldn't. They're hardly even separated or divorced from the old one. And they get lost in it, and then they get lost in a really bad boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, because they were wide open for it. So, yeah,
and
you said
I was there for a long time, but I've been single now for 3.5 years, and I'm okay with it. I'm really happy, and it takes a very strong person also, because I'm with guys all the time. I'm on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. I have my life, and I'm not willing to give that up for anything or anyone, because it's my dream. It's what I've always wanted to do. So it's going to take someone very strong in the long run to date me, I guess, right? I don't know.
You became unfuckwithable. Yes, that's exactly.
I had to.
Yeah, well,
I really did have to.
Everybody should learn. Is your target? Do you have a particular target audience for that book?
I think that no, it's men and women.
Okay.
It's anyone between the age. I bought it. Like, parents have bought it for their 13-year-olds. But my next book is dedicated towards kids more, or like, it's not going to have the F word in it, but it's a book about loving and not bullying. And I have different stories that are being told from people who are bullied, people who bullied.
Wow.
And so I've gotten so many chapters from really great friends who have offered to contribute to this book. And I'm so excited.
Great idea. Great
about
idea.
About it. Ultimately we want to help create, you know, we want people to love and start creating change, and change begins in your backyard.
Boom. Couldn't say it better. Are you a fan of horror books or movies?
Are you okay? Stormy Daniels is one of my best friends.
Right.
I watched The Conjuring by myself when I lived by myself when I was in Indianapolis a couple years ago when it came out. I literally slept with my bathroom light on for 5 days. The door was, you know, cracked a little bit. But yeah, I like to scare the shit out of myself. And there's a new Conjuring coming out on June 4th, which I absolutely am stoked about. And I will be in the theater that night.
Okay. All right.
Or maybe on a Tuesday with my friends Brandon and Selena.
What are they following in this Conjuring? This isn't the...
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't. I don't watch trailers.
I know.
Because I'm so picky. If because they give away the whole movie
lately
in trailers anymore, and I'm just like, I refuse to watch trailers. I go in blind, so that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay. Well, yeah, I like that too, personally, if I don't know too much about it. Yeah, there's something coming out called Censor that's supposed to be pretty intense. I didn't watch the trailer for it. It's definitely based around a woman, and I'm trying to think. I just saw a blurb just today about it where I think she takes a book or something. And I don't know if she creates, like, it becomes her real world or something. I can't remember now. Damn it. Oh, it's.
So is it coming out on at the theater? Is it coming out on, like, Prime or something like that?
Somebody just sent me somebody sent me a trailer on my phone. I think you should know this because it's brand spanking new. And supposedly this is a very disturbing film. And the trailer.
When does it come out?
Let me look right here. Right here. Censor trailer reminds us that horror movies are bad for our health. Holy crap. I can't get the trailer right now, but there's more to it. But yeah, look up CENSOR, folks. The Censor trailer.
CENSOR. All right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to get into that. But I'm not going to watch the trailer. I just want to find out when it comes out so I can just go.
You're going to look this up right now because it says here, I got to read this to you. Between the Satanic Panic and the rise of the video nasties, the 1980s were a boon for anti-horror movie sentiments. As a result, horror movies became even more depraved, sadistic, and violent. And unsurprisingly, this period piece is exactly that.
Yay! I love horror.
Now I know. Look this one up because there's a lot going on here. They mentioned Suspiria, Videodrome, all these older ones that I used to love. But yeah, now we know you're a horror fan. Now I would be doing my fans an injustice if I don't ask you this next question though, and. If I'm out of line, you can tell me. You worked with Gino Lenardo?
I did.
Okay, because we were huge fans here. And, like, between Filter and Chevelle. But, but you guys made music in the studio together?
We did. We worked together for about 2 years. His fiance was actually my partner, but we have since split ways, so I'm not working with Gino anymore. Okay. But we have some live. If you go to my Facebook page, there's actually like us playing live.
Okay.
In his studio, we do. There's maybe two or three sessions, but I'm doing some original music that I worked with him, and we're doing a couple covers. But yeah, I spent 5 months of quarantine with them.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Yeah. Cause we were just fans from way back when. I love the new Chevelle too, by the way.
I'm diehard Chevelle. I was going to name my daughter Chevelle after the band. Like, that's how much I love them. And, you know, they're really great guys. Like, again, I haven't met any asshole rock stars.
I'm just so happy for you. let's see here. Okay, so you already kind of you told me what your next book is going to be about. But are you doing two separate projects? Like, you're doing that one for kids to read and then you're doing another book? Or
no, I'm not doing another book. Right. Okay. I mean, I do have a third one, but that's going to be made for television and I'm working. So I kind of have a 4-year plan. It is eventually going to go into, yes, I'm working on music, which will never stop. But once I get back to Los Angeles, gosh, I should have put my phone on mute because this is ridiculous.
It's don't worry about it. really don't.
I'm eventually going to be writing for television.
Wow.
Because I write and I have, and I'm so blessed that I live in Los Angeles and I've met some of the greatest people in the industry who have read my book and who support me. And one of my friends is getting ready to dive into the network industry, and she's worked for television, but she works for all these channels. She's got shows that have been Emmy nominated. She's so incredible. And she knows about this idea, which is going to be my third book, but it's going to be kind of fiction, but kind of based on my life.
Okay.
Well, but I want to make that into a series because it's kind of a coming of age type situation.
I'll buy it. I want to buy this one too. I do not have a copy of this one. So.
Unfuckwithable because it's a good one. Oh, it's definitely gotten great reviews. So.
Oh, I can't wait. Honestly, actually, this is where you should tell folks where to find everything you.
LindsayManfredi.com, which it's LINDSAYMANFREDI.com. And I make candles from coconut wax, and they are magical. So I have those for sale on my site. My book is on there. My blog is on there. I haven't blogged in a while, but
I don't think I have you on Instagram.
Good things to read. And yeah, my Instagram is Lindsay Manfredi. My Facebook is Lindsay Manfredi. Everything is just my first and last name. And follow Cold on Instagram. We're at Cold Music.
Hells yeah. And don't call her Manfredi or she'll break a six-string bass over your head.
I will not. I will not, and I don't play a six-string bass.
I know.
But
that's
what
I mean.
Those are all the good things. Coldarmy.com. We're going to have new... we're going to have an announcement for a tour soon. So,
yeah, I cannot. I couldn't be happier. I can't wait, honestly. Yes, we'll have to catch you. I guess I got to throw my socials out here real quick, folks. Kettle.whistle.radio on Instagram. And if you want to, hey, check out the new comic books, they're there. You can go to burningbulbpublishing.com or burningbulbcomics.com. Dr. Peeler, Demon Psychiatrist, issue 2 is on the way, issue 1's out there. If you want my horror stuff, folks, go to www.fairlydarkproductions.com. And Twitter, I hate you, but at Fairly Dark. Twitterverse is mean. I think you agree with me.
Oh, dude, I screenshotted some tweets that were sent to me to one of my, like, to my friend Johnny yesterday. And I was like, what does this mean? I don't even know what this means. Because he was, like, asking... this dude made this comment, and he's like, you're a rock star now. Do you ever forget your humble beginnings?
Oh, my God.
And then he said, you don't.
Like what? When we got drunk in Cape Cod and set fire to that dumpster?
I don't even remember what he said. And I was like, what does this mean? I don't even know. I'm pretty cool with everybody. I'd never forget my humble beginnings. But those are I just didn't even respond. I was just like, whatever.
You know what? I'm going to prove you absolutely correct in what you just said, because our first conversation revolved around Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, let's talk about Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, you have a Debbie Gibson moment, don't you?
Debbie Gibson was what made me decide that I was going to be a rock star.
So
like,
that wasn't
literally.
It.
Okay. Well, it went from Debbie Gibson and Madonna to I'm going to be on stage and singing. But then I turned 14 and Pearl Jam came out with an album that changed my life. And Stone Temple Pilots came out and like all of these bands.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah, and then Hole. And so I picked up a guitar because of Courtney Love was playing guitar. And I was like, if this bitch can do it, I can do it too. So one of my first guitars was a Fender Venus, which she co-designed. And it was only a Squire. And my friend Jamie has that. And it's in Florida right now. Or maybe it's in Idaho. I don't know. But she will randomly send me messages letting me know that she still has my guitar. And I can she's keeping it safe. And I can have it anytime. But I mean, it's over 20 years old. It probably plays like shit. I don't even know. It's probably all rusted. But
or you could
my
be,
friend has it.
You could be the next Trent Reznor. You know, you might have a new sound completely.
Right? Who knows? Who knows? Man. I do love Trent Reznor.
Oh yeah, another one keeps reinventing himself. You know, honestly, wow, that guy's amazing.
Well, that's what artists do. We have to reinvent ourselves on a daily. Or on it, you know, whatever. That's what you do. You don't just stay stagnant.
Right.
Otherwise, it's all going to look the same.
Indeed.
And sound the same and be the same. And that sucks.
Couldn't put it better. I agree completely. But like, we have to pick out one more song to go out with. Do you have one? You want something from the new one? Or?
I do want something from the new one. Let's do The Devil We Know.
Yeah, okay. All right, folks. And, this was so much fun. Sorry, we kind of rushed into it, but we both had a hell of a week. I didn't even tell you. I had an MRI yesterday.
Oh, shit.
Right? So I was out of it because that ink that they inject you with, that messed me up for like 24 hours. They don't tell you that. I was just nauseated and kind of like high. It wasn't a good high.
Well, have you been vaccinated yet?
Oh, yeah. I got the Moderna twice.
Was it like that?
You know, not too far removed, but no aches and pains. It was just kind of like I couldn't eat and I just didn't. All I wanted to do was sleep. So very close. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Pfizer.
Okay.
But I was sick, horribly sick, both shots. You know, at first, I don't think I never tested positive for the coronavirus in all the tests that I've had, which I was stupid. I should have, because I hung out with people that tested positive, and I went and got tested because of those people being positive.
Right,
I was negative each time. But my issue is, like a dumbass, I was hungover both times. Like, why couldn't you just not be hungover, Lindsay? Why could you not have had an easy Thursday night? I just had to go hard both times, knowing full well that I had to go do this. But
you're not alone. Not alone there. My dad had a case of beer the night before, and I don't know why we did that. Some hockey game, something was on, and we're like, yeah, that was a big mistake. But that was Moderna. The second one, I don't know. It didn't hit me as hard. Some people, man, they're not surviving that shot. They're out for a week, you know, and then others get nothing. Wait. You know,
but yeah, it's all weird, but you know, it is. I'm happy to be vaxxed though, and I'm happy that, you know, we're hitting the road and everything's good. And
yes,
yeah,
all right, well,
yes,
this was fun.
Well, thanks, David. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. It was great talking to you.
Hope to talk again. You're always welcome back. All right.
Thank you.
And and if you get a chance, check out Fairly Dark Productions. See if you're interested in anything I got there.
Absolutely.
All the shows are there, actually. All the episodes, folks. So, all right. This was fun. And thanks again. And here, I there's so much. I need like a part two and a part three. We don't have time.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Well, hey, man, you have a great night. And,
take care.
Great catching up. See you soon.
Absolutely. Yep. See you soon, hopefully.
Okay. Bye.
Our hearts with Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electricast. Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electricast. Electricast.